If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But now we take a look at some of the activity happening across the globe. And this one is interesting. Earlier this morning, Uncle T on Best Tea in the City was asking if you care about cell phone upgrades, right? Given that Apple had just recently announced a few upgrades to some of its features, but most importantly, highlighting its open AI strategy. But now we're going to take a look at Apple, and this time around, concerns around the U.S. smartphone maker is again facing some challenges from the U.S. Department of Justice, essentially for anti-competitive behavior. To tell us more, we join on the line by Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, a good friend of the show this evening. Jan, busy day for you and the team with lots of numbers to unpack, and even more so with this week, all eyes have been focused on Apple.
Yeah, it's been a big week in tech in South Africa and the tech companies. Yeah, it's been good, and as you pointed out, some exciting news out of Apple with its so-called Apple Intelligence announcement. But before that, getting slapped with an antitrust lawsuit by the U.S. Department of Justice.
And maybe let's contextualize that. Some of us might think, well, Apple is huge. Some companies are just too big to fail, in the words of popular South African politicians. But help us understand what has led to them becoming anti-competitive, or what is it that is viewed as anti-competitive behavior?
Yeah, so some of the DOJ stuff is a bit weird and contrived, but there are some legitimate concerns as well. And you know, a monopoly or monopoly legislation is a weird thing. You can literally do the same thing for 10 years, but after year 10, you just get big enough so that now the same thing you've been doing forever suddenly becomes a problem because of your size. It's really just got to do with your size and the amount of market share that you control. All of a sudden, a business practice that was perfectly fine yesterday is now, illegal. But be that as it may, a couple of big concerns around Apple's behavior. The biggest is around the App Store. And so developers complain that, Apple essentially gets to set the price. There's like no negotiation power. There's, they say they're taking 30% of your revenue. You've got no real alternative, and you have no method of circumventing it. So whereas on an open platform like Android, there's rival app stores, you can direct your customers to download your app from your website, though Android has put some restrictions, or not restrictions, but they've put all kinds of warnings and stuff in place to do with sideloading. But the point is, Android does not actively prevent you from having alternative payment methods in your apps. And the reason that's significant is, for example, a company like Amazon or Netflix. So Netflix on its video streaming side, and then Amazon Audible actually comes to mind, where you can't just spend money or subscribe directly easily from the app. I think Netflix lets you do it, but it actually costs more to do it via the iPhone than it does to do via the Netflix website. And the reason is Apple takes a chunk. So they take a chunk of the revenue. And so that, for some of these apps, it makes it utterly unaffordable to do stuff. The biggest complainant recently was Epic Games with Fortnite. So it's with Fortnite Mobile, it has microtransactions in the game, and so charges very small amounts of players. And if Apple is going to take 30% of every purchase that Fortnite allows through its app, then Epic contends that it's going to drive up the prices unnecessarily. And in fact, if Epic decides to keep the same prices across platforms, so like whether you're on PC or iPhone, you pay the same price, they start making substantially less revenue through iPhone players, which is a potential problem. So yeah, they complained about it in the courts, and they've got a whole separate court case on that going. So the App Store is one major component, and then the other big components that was a bit weird has got to do with ecosystem lock-in. And also part of that, this one is justifiable, is Apple apparently restricting other wallet apps. Ooh. on the ecosystem. So it directs you towards its own Apple wallet, but it's got restrictions in place for so-called super apps and so on. So it essentially, you have to use Apple's provided tools. It does not let you just build your own financial infrastructure on its platform. And so there's some anti-monopoly concerns around that as well. And then the one thing that didn't make sense to me that the DOJ complained about was, oh yeah, and Apple has the Apple Watch, and it, you know, makes it so that the Apple Watch works with iPhone and not other stuff. And I'm like, yes, that's how ecosystems work. The ecosystem gets to choose. Like, Apple doesn't have a gun to your head to say, you must use my ecosystem. Like, you can choose to use a Garmin watch. So they say, you know, other smartwatches don't work as well on iPhone, but that's also a consumer choice. You don't have to use an iPhone. You can use an Android and a Garmin watch. So that argument to me was a bit weak, but the other stuff seemed sound to me, that there are some concerns about potential, if not evident market abuse. Like, there has been reports of Apple behaving badly with respect to the App Store and how it treats developers. But even if there weren't, there certainly is opportunity. And that in itself is a potential monopoly problem.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how all of this does transpire there, Jan. And of course, the impact not only on Apple as a business, but what does change for us as consumers and the competitors who have raised some of these concerns. A big thank you.
Indeed.
Always really appreciate speaking to you and the time
you
that
too.
You've made. Thank you so much, Jan.
Keep well.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.